This is episode 374 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, March the 5th, 2012.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
This is an exciting day in the history of the NBN.
Copyright.gov is down. FBI.gov is next to go.
The world is in trouble. There is no Wikipedia.
Who here has an iPhone? Who here has a BlackBerry? Who here uses Gmail? Well, you're all screwed.
So we'll be monitoring this very closely. No one will pay for these rights if they can't find a way to make money off them.
Copyright is such a big issue. Legislation as 2006 is already outdated by the new technologies.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. Today on the show, Jerry Harvey is back in the news, this week lamenting over his slowing online sales. It's the week that sees the rumoured iPad 3 announcement in San Francisco on Wednesday. Optus failed to silence Andrew. Dimitriou, that is. Someone stole a laptop from NASA, and you'll never guess what was on it. Windows 8 takes another step closer with the release of a consumer preview. Yes, you can download it and give it a try if you like. Google's new privacy policy kicks in. Adam takes a closer look at the new NBN Telstra offerings, and the results probably won't surprise you. And don't forget, Lena has the latest in gaming news from around the globe. So sit back and relax and join us for this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. First up, though, here's Dr. Ron with this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio news desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, the telecommunications regulator approves structural separation of Telstra. Concern over Google's new one-size-fits-all privacy policy. Telstra reveals redirect statistics from its voluntary net filter. And consumer electronics retailer Harvey Norman scales back its online business. Welcome to Tech Talk News. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission has approved the structural separation of Telstra into independent wholesale and retail business centres. On Tuesday, ACCC Chairman Mr Rod Sims said that the ACCC's acceptance of Telstra's structural separation undertaking marks a significant milestone in the structural reform of the telecommunications sector. Mr Sims said that the ACCC had imposed a number of obligations on Telstra, particularly on declaring prices for certain wholesale services. Here's the ACCC's Mr Sims on ABC Radio.
What we've agreed through this undertaking is that prices set by us for the various declared services will flow through to Telstra's customers as quickly as those customers want them to.
Minister for Broadband, Senator Stephen Conroy, was clearly pleased with the regulator's decision.
The telecommunication industry has been seeking this outcome for two decades. Telstra's vertically integrated structure has been the key impediment to competition in the fixed line market for many years.
And the announcement provided a welcome distraction for beleaguered Prime Minister Ms Julia Gillard. After a week in politics, she's clearly anxious to put behind her.
We now have the funding, the legislation and the regulatory approval we need for the rollout of the national broadband network. By the end of this year, around 750,000 Australians will see the national broadband network completed or underway.
CEO of the NBN construction company, Mr Mike Quigley, was also enthusiastic about the regulator's decision. Mr Quigley welcomed the announcement and said that it removes the final major obstacle in the way of the large-scale rollout of the national broadband network. The ACCC said in a media release that these measures should result in greater competition in telecommunications markets and that more effective competition will result in improved service offerings to consumers. In other news this week, internet search giant Google has changed the way it collects and manages data about its users. Previously, services like Gmail, Google+, Google Maps, Analytics, Picasa, YouTube, and of course Google's widely used search engine, all had disparate privacy policies and end-user license agreements. Now, the one privacy policy will apply to every service, and Google will combine information about users from each service. Google says the new privacy policy applies to all of the services offered by Google and its affiliates, including services offered on other sites, such as our advertising services, but that it does not apply to services offered by other companies or individuals, including products or sites that may be displayed in search results. Google says the change will make it easier for users to use its services, easier for users to understand its privacy policy, and simplify data management. But many are up in arms over the new policy. European Union authorities said the new policy appears to violate European law. Some 50 consumer groups in the United States and Europe say the new policy is unfair and unwise, and Japanese authorities claim the policy changes may be illegal under Japanese privacy law, according to a report in the Tokyo Times. The editor of the consumer technology site CNET Australia, Mr. Seamus Byrne, said that Google has been collecting this data for some time, but that the new policy would streamline data collection for the search giant and allow it to better channel personal preferences and online behaviour into targeted advertising. Here's Mr. Byrne on ABC Radio last week.
Google's kind of promising that they'll only use it internally, but Google is now an incredibly large company internally, and they own one of the world's biggest digital advertising networks, which is called DoubleClick.
The change applies to anyone with a Google account, including anyone using Google's Android operating system on their smartphone. Google users who want to see what services are associated with their account can visit google.com/dashboard. Telstra says after implementing a voluntary net filter, which blocks attempts to access known child pornography websites, more than 84,000 access attempts were blocked in less than 4 months last year. The internet filter uses a blacklist maintained by Interpol that only includes known websites hosting images of child abuse and child pornography. The statistic was revealed in a review of the National Classification System by the Australian Law Reform Commission last week. The ALRC said that ISPs were not required to report these statistics, but that Telstra had made the figures public. From the 1st of July last year to the 15th of October, some 409 web addresses were included on the Interpol blacklist. Other ISPs which have implemented the voluntary filter include Optus and Primus Telecom. And consumer electronics and white goods retailer Harvey Norman says it's overestimated online sales potential by an enormous amount and will be scaling back its online commitment and sales forecasts. A few months after launching a brand new online shopping site, CEO Mr. Jerry Harvey said last week that plans for Harvey Norman to conduct 5% of its trade online would be scaled back to be between 1 to 2% over the next few years. Mr. Harvey said the company's recent online trading figures had been unimpressive. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
The Big T announced its prices for the national broadband network.
And that's a risk you have to be aware of and you have to be prepared to take.
Yeah. Ah! Bad enough the first time. Worse the second time.
You've unnecessarily highlighted that awkward part of the conversation.
I think fault's on both sides.
I want a portal gun.
I want a portal gun.
I just with the chaser, we're back on air.
Sad state of affairs when you're looking at the chaser for cents.
Well, yes, but
Telstra need to take more safeguards so that one piece of equipment can't take down a network.
Tell me to be nice.
Be nice.
Yeah, that's what it gives you if you've already got the toolbar.
How to fly your fighter jet.
Stop it.
Plenty of blame to go around.
There's nothing wrong with iTunes, but I buck the trend on the hive mind that is Tech Talk Radio quite often.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Hello there. Let's all work as a team and do it my way. Come on, lift. What's going on?
I have no idea.
How are you, Lena?
I'm good. How are you?
There you are. There you
Yay.
Are. Yay!
It's working.
This is the alternative universe Tech Talk Radio.
Ooh.
Oh, there's lots. All these buttons. This is absurd.
It is.
How do we actually meant? Now I'm going to do something else here. Now talk to me.
How about now?
I can still hear you. That's wonderful.
Excellent.
This is good. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio, everybody. Off to a bit of a wobbly start there. This is Dr. Ron, your host for this week. I don't know how Andrew does it. There are 369. Oh, it's about 184 buttons in front of me. That's a bit scary.
It is.
We got there.
I'm on this side.
I'm glad you're on that side too, just quietly. I'd hate to be doing the whole program in here by myself. Craigie.
Yep.
This is, in fact, the alternate universe Tech Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Ron. I'm your host for this week's edition. Andrew sends his apologies. This is about the fourth Tech Talk Radio in 8 years that Andrew's missed, I think.
Well, he was due for one then, wasn't he?
He was. He was due for a bye, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, but he's had a bit of a family emergency, so he sends his apologies.
Aww.
And we're all our thoughts are with him and his family. Hope everything works out okay, Andrew. He doesn't ditch us lightly, that's for sure.
No.
He'll be back next week.
Excellent.
Graham is entertaining guests from overseas.
Oh, well, that's a good excuse as well.
A guest from overseas.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. So
sounds good.
Yeah, he puts in his apologies as well. He doesn't ditch Tech Talk Radio lightly.
No.
Adam Turner does, however.
Are you trying to make a point?
Yeah. Adam's on his way in at the very last minute. We don't often have these sorts of resourcing problems and these sorts of staffing issues, do we?
No, we don't, especially when it's not a particularly nice day outside.
It's not.
No, normally it's, you know, that you can wag when it's
Oh, I see
really
what
nice
you're saying.
Day.
Like if it was like 38 degrees here, we'd say, oh, yeah, they're probably down at the beach, kicking the beach ball around, going for a bit of a dip.
But there's nothing special out
it's
there.
Nothing special.
No.
They must have real
it's
excuses.
It's pretty special in here, though.
It's very special in here. This is like the car park edition, or I'm going to call it the ultimate universe edition, because Dr. Ron's panelling, and that just never, ever happens.
I think that's a good name for it.
Oh, as you probably guessed from the false start. But that's okay. Tech Talk Radio is a technology radio program where we come to you live from our studios every week here, and it's recorded and podded and distributed around the country on many of Australia's fine community radio stations. Wouldn't
we're
you say?
On a lot now.
We're on all of them.
All of them.
Nearly
every radio station ever.
Nearly every radio station in the world we're on. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, we're normally four people on the panel with a guest every week as well.
Normally at least four.
Mm.
Yeah. So we've just got the two of us just to battle on anyway.
We can handle it.
Oh, I'm sure we can. I'm sure we can. We have the technology. We have the resources. We have the expertise.
Absolutely.
And
we have the Coro.
Oh, we've got plenty of Coros. Absolutely. Now I was going to actually ask you, how's your week been?
Good.
You had an exciting weekend.
I did. I had a really big party in my new house.
Had a busy weekend. That was exciting.
It was. We've had interstate guests over. To come over for the party.
Yes, yes.
And it was fantastic. They're lovely people, and it was a really fun time. The house is sufficiently warmed.
Have you warmed to the house?
We have. Well, I warmed to the house. I mean, I saw it. But
you warmed to the house a long time ago.
We warmed the house with the party, and it was great.
Hey, you're a Dunahog, apparently. Is that right?
Apparently,
for
yeah.
For people who don't know you?
According to my Twitter bio that used to say that?
Might have been. Very own games correspondent I had here, freelance writer, editor, game designer. You've got your name in games credits.
I do.
For people who don't know who you are, Lena Van Devenser. You tweet occasionally.
I tweet a lot.
Do you?
Probably too much.
Ah.
But I like it. It's microblogging.
Microblogging. What's Twitter? There'll be people who are listening to us maybe for the first or second or third time on one of Australia's fine community stations. They might have heard of Twitter and thought, that's a lot of nonsense. It's one of those fad things.
Well, it does have the word twit in it, so you can understand why people might be a bit sceptical of what it is.
That's part of its appeal, though, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit nerdy, a little bit geeky.
I like it as a writing exercise, actually. As a writer, I like to... It forces me to be concise and to choose the proper words and to articulate myself properly to fit into 140 characters.
Yes, yes.
So it's a good little challenge sometimes when I'm feeling overly verbose.
So 140 characters, that's all you can... Occupy in a tweet.
That's all you can send in one tweet.
So you can't be verbose.
No.
Verbose is not a word, which is synonymous with Twitter.
No. Okay. You have to be very concise and articulate. And I like that. I find it an interesting little exercise to sort of get your brain working, especially early in the morning.
What sort of things do you tweet about?
What sort of things don't I tweet about?
Why
probably
yes.
a small
Why
list.
Why do you laugh?
I tweet a lot, but so do a lot of the other people that I follow on Twitter as well. So I think Twitter's what you make it. You can follow people you find interesting.
Yes.
And vice versa. Other people follow you if they find you interesting. There are power users, people who tweet a lot per day. And then there's people who tweet once a year, once a month, once a week. And it's all very, very much what you make it, which is what I really like about it. There's so many different ways. I know people who use Twitter just for following comedians. And just for entertainment, so just hearing what funny people have to say. And then there's other people who use it as the primary motive of, you know, rallying the troops, getting all their friends together and planning things. And then there's people who do a bit of in between.
There's some people that call themselves Twitter consumers, and they just follow, and they just like to watch, to watch what people say.
And they don't put any tweets out, they just read them. Yeah,
and that's okay too.
That's fair enough.
You can use Twitter a number of different ways, as you've explained.
Unlike Facebook, where it's got to be a two-way sort of friendship. You've both got to agree, whereas Twitter's just one person.
One can follow many, or many can follow one.
Yeah, and it's not mutual instantly. So
used Facebook. I'm despairing a bit with Facebook at the moment, actually. I mean, I've got a separate account. There's a Dr. Ron account. Mm-hmm. And all it is, Lena, is it's a Twitter reflector.
Yeah.
All it does is it rebroadcasts anything I put on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I log in and check it occasionally, maybe once a week, to be honest. Mm. I don't think that's the right way to use Facebook.
Probably
what,
not.
What are your thoughts?
I think a balance between putting out and taking in is probably the best. If you're just on there to put stuff out, you might be missing out on a lot of stuff. But having said that, I would ditch Facebook completely because I prefer Twitter to Facebook.
Mm.
I would ditch it completely, but so many of my friends use events on Facebook,
I know.
And I feel like I would be not invited to things, or people would forget, or, you know, you get sort of left out on the loop. Yeah.
I know. I've got friends and family on Facebook, and it's going to be difficult to cut the cord. It really is.
Andrew did very quickly.
Yeah, Andrew did. Andrew just jumped in head first and said, enough's enough, Facebook, I've had enough.
Unfortunately, yep. He went with Google Plus, though, as the alternative.
He did. He did. He went with Google Plus. So, so Facebook, Google Plus, obviously, is another social networking platform. Adam Turner's arrived, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, which is good news. So we've got Google, which is the social network, really, which is the Google's response to Facebook, I suppose. It would be nice to get more activity and more things actually happening on Google Plus. Yeah, I know what you found. I saw what you found. Go ahead, base, over.
Sorry about that.
How are you, Mr. Turner?
Yay.
Good. I was hoping for more news. I thought I'd get away with it and just sneak it in time.
I tell you what, Lena and I were hoping that the news would run like, you know, yes, 1 hour and 50 minutes, but it didn't. It stopped that, and I thought, no one to blame it myself, just quietly.
I did hear that you two would be stuck here together, and I wouldn't do that to a friend.
Well, now, this is interesting. I was going to ask you, I spoke to you today on the phone, and I said, Adam, what are you doing tonight? And you went, why? And I said, because it's just me and Lena in the studio. And you said, oh, I wouldn't do that to somebody.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, hang on a minute. Does he mean you wouldn't do that to
Lena?
I'll
just let you think about that for a while. You can come to your own conclusion.
Well, aww. Yes, we might have to. Highly respected technology journalist, former deputy editor of Business IT section of The Age.
Guilty.
And Sydney Morning Herald. He now specialises in the digital lounge room and everything therein. Adam Turner, welcome to the panel.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming off the bench tonight.
It's okay.
There's only so many words in the world that Lena and I can string together in 1 2-hour program.
Mm. You did quite well. I thought you were just going for the long musical intro, though, with Axel F.
good old Axel.
If in doubt, apply Axel Foley.
Yes.
Liberally.
Liberally. If pain persists, see a doctor.
Yep.
For goodness sake. Hey, a lot happened this week. My business DNS server failed, the one that I run, my personal one.
Uh-oh.
That's a bit awkward. It's a bit embarrassing.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, a DNS server is a domain server, a domain name server. That's on the internet, for those that don't know. That's what changes the actual internet names into numbers so the internet can work.
But it's like a phone book.
It is like a phone book. It's an electronic phone book, and there are hundreds of thousands of millions of them around the world. But the funny thing is, I had a power failure at home, and my UPS failed, my uninterruptible power supply.
Well, it's not so uninterruptible, is it?
No, you're right.
Mm. Epic
you're right.
Fail.
Epic fail.
You should have your money back.
The panelist, formerly known as Graham Callaghan, rang me about 3 minutes later and said, is your DNS server working? He lives not too far from me, and he encountered the same power failure, and he has a DNS server, and that went off air as well.
Oh,
so
no.
Customers ringing him up saying, the internet's broken. And he usually says, well, there's not much I can do about that, but tap, tap, tap. He rang me up and said, quick, get your DNS server back on the air. That was a bit scary for a short moment in time. So I'm now looking for a new uninterruptible power supply, because the one I have is simply now just a power supply.
Somewhat interrupted.
False advertising.
An interrupted power supply. So that was awkward. Windows Azure crashes on leap year error. We'll talk about that in this week's episode. Mm. Did we all survive the leap year rollover?
I think so.
Yeah,
I didn't propose to anyone. I should have.
You should. You had the opportunity.
Mm. I know someone who did and got turned down, but they were expecting it, so that's okay.
Was it the lady that proposed?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what the tradition is.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, you're taking a risk. And she said, yeah, no, I might get turned down. We'll cope. And I think they coped.
But I thought...
He has to say yes.
Yeah, the whole premise of it is that he has to say yes.
Well, no one told him or no one told her. I don't know.
It's intergalactic law.
Yeah, okay. The law of the leap year.
Oh. What about your computer systems?
Nothing that I noticed. Which day was the leap day?
Good question. I didn't notice it either. The 29th.
I don't know which day the 29th was.
That was
one of them days.
29th. I was still getting over coming back from Queensland, so all things could have crashed and I wouldn't have noticed.
Now, speaking of Queensland, I saw a photograph of you at Carlton United Brewery on the back of a Harley Davidson last week.
I thought it was a work trip.
What the hell was going on there? Explain yourself,
there was,
Adam Turner.
There was some work involved. There was a bit of work
lifting
here and
your
there.
Arm to your yeah. mouth I to pour know
the
that. Drink
I had in. A CUB factory in Queensland. I'm surprised that didn't have like shotgun pellets in the sign out the front. You foreigners with the air of foreign beer. But yeah, it was really apparently producers, like they took us on a tour of the factory and then they have a restaurant and a pub and whatever in the front. Apparently it produces like a third of Australia's beer from CUB or something ridiculous like that. So
and where did the Harley come into it?
Impressive. The people who were organizing it, they decided to call it a bikey night. So we had some Harleys and people got dressed up.
That's what you needed at your housewarming, Lena. Harleys. It's the only thing that was missing.
It was.
Driving through the living room.
I knew there was something. But you can't have everything. You have to hope for something, otherwise you're just spoiled.
There's always something.
You've got to hope for something.
People who are listening to the program for the first time, to Tech Talk Radio, can we follow you on Twitter, Adam? We were talking about Twitter a bit earlier.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter.
Would you recommend people follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, probably.
Your Friday song quotes are always good.
Yeah, I try to pull my head in a bit these days. Hello to my wife. I know who's watching because I can see you.
Hi, Alison.
Watching?
Yes.
Is there something I don't know
sorry.
About?
No, she's listening. I'm watching
her. Are
the
cameras up here?
I'm testing a D-Link security system, which is why I was late. I was trying to set the silly thing up.
You nerd.
And right now I've got it running and I can see her and there's a lag on it. So any second now she's going to go, throw her hands in the air.
We're playing
talking
with
about
mine
it.
On the weekend, but I can't access it from the studio. And
I can access it from a phone and all kinds of stuff.
Well, I've got an app to look at my security cameras on my phone, but only when I'm at... On my IP address, not from here.
And now I have my family dancing for me. There must be about a 30-second delay between us on the road. Because suddenly they all jumped up and down and went, hey!
And there's waving, there's friends
waving. There's waving, yes.
And where can people go to see your family? No, I'm Hey, there's iPad 3 speculation this week. We'll be talking about that a bit more. Is it iPad 3, do you reckon, or are we going to see like an iPad 2S type model? Is it going to be an in-between
I
one or a real one?
I don't think they do a 2S. I think it'll be a 3.
Yep.
Not sure exactly what they're going to do. I mean, look at the 2, right? The big selling points were that it was thinner and that it was faster and that it had a camera. I never heard anyone say the iPad 1 was too fat and too slow.
That's true. That's true.
The camera is maybe a worthy addition, but the rest of it, I don't know. So where do they go from there? Maybe a faster chip again, and that's what they'll do each time is they'll put faster chips in them.
Quad-core processor, apparently.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit later in the program. But lots to talk about in terms of Apple news and their upcoming announcements. CommBank suffers a 10-hour payment outage. It's a bit awkward.
Ouch. Mm.
Commonwealth Bank, we'll talk about that. And a review by the Australian Law Reform Commission that proposes a refined mandatory internet filter. This is of interest to all of us and all our listeners.
The filter again?
Yeah, it's not going
to
go away.
We need to talk about the filter, though. We need to get this sorted out.
We do.
Look, if we don't talk about it, they'll try and pull a shifty.
Exactly. We've got all this and more in this week's program, but we also have a great deal of correspondence.
Your say on Tech Talk Radio.
Come and have your say on Tech Talk Radio. Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au is how you communicate with us. Lena, you're the correspondence wizard this week.
I am.
This is exciting. You are Ron. I'm Andrew. You're Ron. Adam's Graham. And
there's no Lena.
And there's no... No, that's...
Oh, I didn't really like her anyway.
I want to be Lena. Can I be you? You don't normally sit here, though.
No, I don't sit up in the boss chair.
In the boss fella's chair.
Because then you have to work all the faders, and I can't do that.
You can't do it. Tell me your hard luck stories. What have we got in the mailbag this week, Lena?
Regular TTR contributor White Salmon, via the TTR contact form, says, Hi, guys. Hi, Salmon.
Hi, Salmon.
I downloaded my most recent fix of TTR this morning to my iPod, played it, and found that Dr. Rom was still camped out in the throne room.
Flush. I'm not doing sound effects tonight. I draw the line. The most we can do is get this program produced with 3 microphones and a CD player.
Much to Lena's horror. You're damn right. So sad. The same held true when listened via Stitcher on my Droid. The show descriptions heralded new topics, but I guess GC attached the wrong file. I miss you. Come back. All is forgiven. White Salmon.
White Salmon, you weren't the only person to complain about this. There was a minor gremlin in our podcast production, and for that, Andrew apologises. You see, all you have to do is hit the number 8 on your keyboard instead of the number 9 when you're typing it. 180 words per minute at 3 a.m.
Yep.
And suddenly 8 million people around the world are disappointed.
Because we do them late at night often, don't we? Because we've got the next morning, the show has to go out to other places.
It's a 24-hour production factory.
Which is pretty impressive given the length of the show, I think.
We actually spend more time producing it than there is time.
It is a pretty fast turnaround.
It is. Swat Salmon and everyone else, our apologies. This one will be perfect. It'll be 100%. Nothing could possibly go wrong.
How hard can it be?
How hard could it possibly
be? Long-time listener Carl via the TTR contact form says, Hi, team. Hi, Carl. Welcome back for another year of TTR.
Thank you.
I've been enjoying the podcasts when the right one gets uploaded to iTunes.
See what I mean?
Carl, we've been over this.
Settle. Let it go.
Easy. Just a couple of points from last week's show, says Carl.
Yes.
One. He's numbered them. Oh, dear. One. You had a caller.
The second one numbered B.
Don't you love feedback with bullet lists?
Bullet points. Here's what you did wrong. You had a caller talking about the microphonic effect of an in-ear monitor type headphone.
Yes, that's right. We're talking about microphonics, which is the scratchy acoustic noise you get when you knock microphone leads. Speaker leads.
Crackle and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
The best I've found to combat this issue are any that have a cloth or weave type outer covering instead of the usual black rubber. I think Ultimate Ears or Skull Candy do some like this, and I use this kind every day.
Oh, good.
There you go. That might help. We just plugged people, though. Oh, my.
No, we can they plug people.
They
it's
didn't
okay.
even give me free stuff.
I've seen video cables their name that on the have, radio. Like, a mesh cover instead of just HDMI cables that are a mesh sort of a cover rather than just rubber.
Mm.
So it might be the same sort of thing.
Bullet point number two.
Bullet point number two. Go ahead.
You were stand by?
No, go ahead.
Here's a list of words I never want to hear on the radio again.
You were talking about the opening of the 700 megahertz band to phones here.
Yes, 700 megahertz is the radio band. That's right.
This frequency isn't used overseas for phones as far as I know. True world phones, in commas.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Quotations. Like the iPhone, are quad band GSM 850, 900, 1800 and 1900 megahertz.
Oh, lots of technical numbers there. We'll go over that. Yep.
So opening up the 700 megahertz band here won't make our phones any more compatible with overseas phones unless they plan to use 700 megahertz for LTE and 4G as well.
Ron, you know a little bit about these things. Aren't they talking about reserving 700 parts of 700 for emergency services?
Yeah, they are. They're going to have a radio frequency spectrum auction very soon, and people have started to pre-register for interest.
Yeah.
And when I say people, not people like you and me. That'd be nice if we could go and buy ourselves 100 megahertz
chip
of space.
We'll throw in a
couple of shekels. The spectrum auctions are for large manufacturers like Motorola or Apple, or now Google actually expressed an interest as well, which got the tech world a bit of a flutter. What are Google up to there? Actually, going to build their own mobile phone network, or are they going to sponsor somebody and reserve some radio frequency spectrum for someone else to build a network on their behalf? I'm off the top of my head, and I haven't got my Google machine in front of me at the moment. I think 700 megahertz in Australia was used for television, for some UHF television channels. Since they're cutting over to digital TV, I think that part of the radio frequency spectrum has been freed up. And the ACMA, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, says, well, this radio frequency spectrum can be put to good use.
That's a good idea.
They're going to do. They're going to auction it off. But I think it's somewhere they've put aside 10 megahertz with 5 megahertz each side for emergency services. And I think it might be somewhere around there, because I was listening to a guy from Motorola the other day, and they make a lot of the emergency services radio handsets and all that kind of stuff talking about it. But I don't remember the exact frequency that we're talking about, but I'm pretty sure they have decided to put a bit aside.
What do they use at the moment, our emergency services?
Our emergency services use lots of different frequency spectrums.
Whatever's available?
Well, it depends on whereabouts you are geographically. If you're in the city, we're turning into, this is becoming a bit of a radio nerd discussion.
Nerd
but that's
alert.
Okay. Nerd alert. I haven't got my nerd alert. Where's this? There's 183 buttons in front of me here. One of them will make a nerd alert noise.
Let's not take a gamble.
Can I press this one? No, let's not.
And they fall through a hatch in the floor.
There's a button here labelled hatch. I better not press that one. There's VHF communications and UHF communications, and the radio bands are split up into different parts. In the country, they use VHF, so around like 163 megahertz. In the city, when I say they, I mean the CFA, our Country Fire Authority, and the police and ambulance services. And in the city, they use frequencies in the 400 megahertz area.
Actually, sorry, I've just read a story by Josh Taylor at ZDNet, and he was listening to the same guy speak the other day.
Cool.
And it looks like they don't think they'll get some of the 700 megahertz. They were hoping to get some,
but they're not sure if they will. So they're now talking about perhaps 800 megahertz. So it looks like it's still up in the air, but they're hoping to get a chunk somewhere put aside for emergency services. And good night to my children. Go to bed.
Go to bed. Go to bed, kids. What else does Carl have to
There's
say?
There's another
Wayne?
Bullet point.
Oh, good. There's I thought there might be.
One. Number
Excellent.
Three, I agree with one of your callers. Why do we have callers? I think it means
Are you sure he's written to the right show?
Are you there, caller?
Are
you there, caller? Stop knocking Vodafone.
Oh, yeah, come on.
When they start working, we'll stop knocking.
I live in Cheltenham, Victoria, and get much better coverage with them around here than my wife's Optus phone. Usually 4 bars versus 1 bar, both iPhone 3GS. I switched to Vodafone about 9 months ago, and I've had good reception and no dropped calls.
Good.
I think with the rollout of their newer 850 megahertz band.
Oh, I was turning to a radio nerd show. Yeah, it's great.
They're finally filling in a lot of those reception black holes that damage their reputation.
Yeah, they are. They're matching. They're trying to match what Telstra's done with the 850 megahertz stuff.
He puts a caveat at the end of this as well. No, I don't work for them, nor have shares in them, nor am I married to anyone who works there. That's always good to put at the end there.
Carl, thanks for the feedback. That's good to know. Look, we have bagged Vodafone a bit in the past, and I think it's safe to say they went through a rather nasty period there where they had a lot of dropouts, a lot of congestion problems and a lot of difficulties. And they acknowledged that publicly. And they said, look, we're working hard to try and get the network back on track. If Vodafone works for you, then that's great. No worries.
I'm a Vodafone customer.
There you go. Lena's a Vodafone user.
On my iPhone 4.
My and condolences.
They've actually No, I have no problems with them whatsoever. They actually called me to ask where I had dead spots.
Okay, that's good.
If they could get me to say what suburbs I had dropouts in. And I gave them a list of about, I think, 5 suburbs that regularly were dead zones to me.
So they were going above and beyond trying to...
I think so.
Yeah, trying to fix the problem.
Yeah, they didn't just say, yeah, we're working on it. They actually did work on it. Oh, well, so
have any
something.
Of those 5 suburbs got any better?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, I used to not be able to make or receive calls in my supermarket, which is a real pain because sometimes that's really where you need to call home to make sure for something.
Even with Telstra, I have that problem once you get down the back of the supermarket,
They must be made of lead or something, a Faraday cage.
But also
around
using
all these...
an iPhone 4, so they're not the best phones in terms of reception.
I don't have any basis for comparison of that. But, so I found it's much better now in the supermarket. So that was the one thing that I was telling them they really needed to work on. So that worked well. So I have no bones with Vodafone at all. But then again, I do buck the trend.
You do buck the trend. You don't subscribe to the hive mind always.
I don't always subscribe to the Tech Talk hive mind.
We've tried, everybody. We've tried to brainwash her as best we can.
I'm here for balance.
There is a lot of variation even between handsets of the same make and model. My wife and I both have iPhone 4s that came out of the same batch, bought in the same shop on the same day, and my reception's better than hers.
That's just odd, isn't
it? Yeah, there are places where hers will drop out and mine will keep going.
And you're both on the same network, obviously.
We're both, same network, same everything.
Does she have a case on hers?
No, they're both exactly the same. So it's either something to do with her SIM card or her handset, but hers drops out in places where mine will keep going. And it's not just once or twice. You see it regularly. If it's just on the cusp, mine will hang on and hers won't. So there's a lot of factors at play when it comes to these things.
Carl, thanks for your feedback. Anything else in the mailbag, Lena?
I do. I've got one more. Pacomius. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Pacomius. Hi, Pacomius.
It may be my new favourite word, depending on what it means.
I wonder what it means. Maybe I should have
find out what it means.
Checked it on definer.com before we put it to air.
He or she used the TTR contact form as well.
Excellent.
That's on fire this week.
It is.
Regarding your discussion of what to call people from Perth.
Yes.
We did have a chat about that. We came away with Perthlings.
And Perthverts.
Sir or ma'am, as the case may be, is generally acceptable, according to Pacomius.
Is that a bit of a nasty edge?
If someone called me ma'am, I cannot be held responsible for what I may do to them. I'm only 27. I am far too young to be ma'amed or madamed or misses'd. Even though I am a missus, I refuse.
How you going, missus?
I'm too old.
Oh, that's terrible,
isn't it? To be ma'amed. I got ma'amed 2 years out of high school. Too young.
I was going
to
say.
To be ma'amed.
You're not that old?
I was ma'amed 2 years out of high school.
You're ma'amed?
I ate a whole tub of ice cream when I got home after that, just to make me feel better.
On that note,
okay.
If you'd like to communicate with the panel, please do. We'd love to hear from you.
If you'd like to upset Lena.
If you'd like to call her a ma'am or a madam.
No, you better not.
If you'd like to drive
at your own risk
shares of Peter's ice cream up a bit, feedback@techtalkradio.com.au.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
It is indeed. It's Tech Talk Radio that you're listening to. I'm Dr. Ron. I'm your host for this week, which is all a bit strange and unusual and a little bit alternative. It's not the car park edition. It's more of a more of an alternative universe edition, I think. Adam, what do you
picture
think?
Picture a man going on a journey beyond sight and sound.
You've got it in one. Optus fails to silence AFL's boss, Andrew Demetriou. This is something we need to talk about. We have spoken in recent weeks of the big stoush between Optus with their TV Now service and
we
the AFL and the NRL and Telstra.
Heated discussions.
We have had heated discussions.
And we can talk about them because they're not here.
Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that
Graham
awesome?
Was right. End of discussion.
They were ridiculous. Both of them. End of discussion.
I can see both sides. If I listen to one person arguing, I fully understand where they're coming from. And I hear the opposite side. I think, oh, no, maybe I side with them. Oh, no, maybe I side with them. I don't usually sit on the fence with such things, but yeah, I don't know. I can see.
I just wanted to come in with the hose.
Well, we needed a fire hose.
Yep.
When Andrew and Graham have a look, listen a couple of episodes back, and there's a discreet little audio grab of that segment, that argument. It's available on the Tech Talk Radio website if you just want to listen to what they had to say to each other. The federal court has thrown out Optus's bid to silence AFL chief executive Andrew Demetriou and correct what the telco claimed were misleading and deceptive comments from the sporting boss. Now, I must admit, I was surprised by this. I thought that Andrew Demetriou had overstepped the mark.
Yeah,
what
me
he was
too.
Saying was quite slanderous.
Yeah.
But actually, the federal court said, nope, it's all part and parcel of the dispute. It's all in the public interest. Say what you like, and it'll get sorted out.
Well, I guess we're so used to hearing telcos being slammed that we're maybe a little bit immune to it.
I don't know. The AFL said, Optus is stealing the football. And then the court said, no, they're not. And now the AFL is still saying, Optus is stealing the football. And so Optus said to the courts, can you please ask the AFL to stop saying that, considering you just decided that's not what we're doing? And the court said, no, they can keep saying that you're stealing the football, even though we just decided that you're not. That sounds a bit odd to me.
Mm.
Well, you can, yeah. No, I that makes sense to me.
Well, IT News reported that the telco had sought an interlocutory injunction against Demetriou for his comments to the Herald Sun. Interlocutory, in which he said Optus's TV Now free-to-air recording service was akin to stealing. Optus took umbrage with that remark and asked him to stop, and the court said, no, he doesn't have to.
Oh, great. I'm going to call all kinds of people thieves now. This is awesome.
Yes, well, there's one thing which is certain out of all this. Lawyers will get very rich.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
I think that's something that we can...
Speaking of thieves.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, have one of these. There you go. That's what we're doing tonight.
Oh, a running sheet.
Yeah.
Hey, look.
I'll keep it later for scrap paper.
Please do.
It's not much use now.
Use it for scrap paper now, if you like. So that's it was an interesting turn of events. So we're waiting at the moment on an appeal. I'm not reading off notes off the top of my head. It's the full bench of the federal court, I think, which will hear the appeal. So it was a federal court, a judge in the federal court that heard the original application.
Don't they have better things to do?
What, the courts? No.
Yeah. No, this is
absolutely
what they do. This
not.
Is their
Shouldn't
thing.
They be, like, you know, locking up murderers and whatnot?
No.
No, we should be messing around with boys yelling at each other.
Well, yep. It's a different court.
That's where the money is.
There's a lot at stake anyway, and that's certainly another thing that's, you know.
Money makes the world go round.
Oh, absolutely. We mentioned at the start of the program, Windows Azure crashes on leap year error. So we decided that we got through the leap year unscathed. Adam asked me what day the leap year day was. I said the 29th.
Wednesday.
I'm clever like that, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
I'm all
no
over.
One would have guessed that.
I'm all over it.
Off the leash.
Microsoft, out of control, has confirmed a major worldwide. Do you read the word outage as outrage sometimes?
I do.
In your head?
Yes.
Like when you say things in your head, you've got that inner monologue.
It's like a Freudian slip, but with reading.
Yes. Mm. Freudian slip, that's like when you say one thing and mean another.
Yes. That's, I see what you did there. Exactly,
yeah. I see what I did there, sorry.
... on its Windows Azure cloud service was likely caused by a leap year coding error. The firm's corporate vice president for cloud, Mr. Bill Lang, said in a blog post that the issue was determined to be caused by a software bug. Well, their cloud service probably hasn't actually been alive in a leap year up until now.
Do you think we're approaching the time now with technology going as fast as it's going where the term, it was a software bug, just doesn't cut it anymore? We want to know the specifics.
There'll always be software bugs.
But do we want to know the specifics now? Now that we're fairly more tech literate than we have been ever.
No, they're never going to tell us.
You don't think? Oh, I think software bug is a bit of a cop out. It's like saying that was human error.
Yeah, yeah. That's this is what they say, because it can cover a multitude of things. Mm. You know, a contractor dropped the ball, someone tripped over a cable.
Human error.
Human, you know, a software bug can cover a whole multitude of sins. It's a great phrase.
This makes me a bit cranky, actually, because calendars and clocks are they're the bane of IT support people.
Mm.
Especially when it comes to daylight saving on, daylight saving off, leap years. There's always something somewhere that goes wrong. Just when you thought you had it streamlined and just when you thought your Windows machine was fine, that would clock over okay, your Windows server was okay, your Linux machine was okay, oh, there's a version of ABC operating system on the smartphone and no, that's up the spout and I've got to adjust it manually. There's always something.
Mm.
And it took Microsoft so, so very long to get this right. It took them years, 10 years, 15 years. We've had Microsoft operating systems, and it wasn't until a short time ago that daylight saving changes and leap year changes and things were streamlined. We always had to do something. You always got one of those notifications a week before saying, quick, download this patch. We've just decided 3 days out that we thought we should test it, and oh, yeah, it doesn't work after last year's efforts and the year before's efforts and the year before that's efforts. No, we're going to put another patch in to make it work. It's always something like this. It drives me crazy.
It is. It's bad.
Calendars, clocks.
We should be past this by now. We put a man on the moon. Let's make the computer tell me the time properly.
Didn't put him on the moon in a leap year, though, did we?
Well, I hope not. Otherwise, it would have all...
They'd still be up there.
Yeah.
Commonwealth Bank suffers a 10-hour payment outrage.
Outrage.
10-hour payment outage. The Commonwealth Bank has resolved a processing issue that prevented its customers from withdrawing cash overnight. Between 11 p.m. and 8 a.m.
Ooh.
That's going to hurt.
On the 29th.
That's going to...
Okay.
Affected bank accounts appeared empty. Oh, you would panic, wouldn't you?
Oh, man, it's the middle of the night. You owe some drug dealer $500. It's like, dude, it's right here. Look, I've got my ATM, all right? You're going to get your money. I've got my card. It says I've got no money. Dude, no, seriously. It's like, poof.
You wind up your cement shoes at Ryback Beach.
Exactly. That could get very ugly at 3 a.m.
That's really bad.
Commonwealth Bank, what are you doing?
Not cool.
GD, who's our illustrious moderator. Hey, come and join us on the forum, by the way. Forum. No, not the forum. What's this thing called?
The chat.
The chat.
The chat.
Yeah. Come and join us at the forum as well. But join us at the chat room if you're listening live. chats.techtalkradio.com.au. We're all logged in there.
Mm.
Excuse me if I'm not reading everything word for word, line for line. Primal's there. He sent me a message. Mm-hmm. Just proves again how much influence the AFL and its money have in Australia. Oh, Primal.
Mm.
That's a fair call.
It's a fair call. Come and join him and Dan and Canulator. Oh, hello, Canulator. Sine Wave.
That makes my arm hurt.
It does. Sine Wave, Phil, Phoenix, Yak's there, Warlock's there, Gareth's there. Andrew at the Austin's there. Andrew, we're all thinking of you, wishing you were here. Jimmy Stubbs is up the top. You can communicate with us live, and there's more people as well. I've got to scroll down. There's lots of people in the chat room. This is terrific.
It is.
Yeah.
They're not all just us either.
It's not all just us and our friends and family.
Yeah.
But if you're not listening live, that's okay too. Forum.techtalkradio.com.au. You can catch up on all the goings-on in the program. Apple announces a 7th of March event, likely iPad 3 unveiling.
Woo!
So they have begun to start sending out invitations for a special event. And this is a correct use of the word event. It's something people sell tickets to.
It is not a weather event.
No. We didn't get caught in a nasty weather event on the way here.
Events sell tickets.
Events sell tickets.
Or invitations.
Yes. Mm. Sell invitations.
Well, or send out invitations.
The event will take place at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts in San Francisco, where both the original iPad and iPad 2 were announced in 2010 and 2011, respectively. It's now 2012, Adam. We're not going to see an iPad 2S or a 2GS.
I don't think you've got your money on a
3.
Yeah,
a 3.0.
I've got my money on a 3.
Mm-hmm.
What will be interesting is, everyone sort of got into the habit of you upgrade your smartphone every 2 years because you go on a contract and then when you get to the end, they go, here, keep paying the same amount and have a new phone. You go, don't mind if I do, right? So no big deal. So a lot of people get the iPhone 3G, skip the 3GS, get the 4, skip the 4S, get the 5, right? No big deal. So you go out and buy yourself an iPad and then the next year the iPad 2 comes out and you think, oh, my iPad 1's still all right. And then the next year, the iPad 3 comes out, and you start to think, well, yeah, my iPad's starting to get a bit old. And then you go, but it's going to cost me $600 or whatever. No one's just going to hand me another one. I'm not on a plan.
That's
I'm
right.
not on that upgrade cycle anymore.
do I really need to, and can I really afford to buy to spend $600 on a new iPhone? I will get an iPhone 5 when it comes out because it's not going to cost me anything. It's not going to. I'm just going to keep paying what I was always paying.
What's subsidized by your mobile phone carrier?
Well, yeah, okay. It's wrong to say it's not going to cost me, but I'm not going to be any more out of pocket than if I had have kept my iPhone 4. So I may as well, right?
Yep.
But we're still yet to see whether that 24-month upgrade mentality will exist with the iPad users. I'd be interested to see the figures and how many iPad 1 users upgraded to the iPad 2. And if you've got an iPad 1, you'll be keen to go to the iPad 3 maybe, but how many iPad 2 users will go, yeah, this thing's a piece of junk now, I'm getting an iPad 3?
You've got an iPad
2.
Did you jump
one at home?
What will it take to get you to buy the 3, or are you just going to buy it anyway?
I'm not going to buy it. Because I'm not going to say whether I'm going to buy it or not now because it doesn't actually have specifications yet.
Well, some people have just gone written a blank check and said, I want one. It doesn't matter what it is.
It depends. If it offers me something I want, I'll get it.
Can you think of anything?
If it's just Retina display, I probably won't.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just a quad-core processor, I probably won't. But there's been a few rumors about it having a special integration with the Apple TV and the Apple TV perhaps going in the way of a console with offering more game stuff. Now, that may start to pull me in the right direction.
But an iPad 2 will do full screen mirroring with an Apple TV anyway, won't it? So anything you can do on the iPad 2, yep, you can do on the Apple TV.
But it all depends on what it is that's actually going to come out, though. But I think, like, games to me is probably where what I'm trying to say is that's what will suck me in.
Because there was talk of another Apple TV coming this week as well. So yeah, that could be interesting.
I would love to see them move towards games a little bit more because the iOS platform does dominate mobile gaming right now. And I'd love to see them really kick that up a notch and make some sort of home console with the Apple TV or do something in the telly as well as in your mobile devices. I think that'd be fantastic.
Did you know when you go to a website and you connect to the web server, keeps a log of the connections and the traffic and what people have looked at on the website. And one thing that a lot of web servers do today is they record some information from the browser and they identify what the browser is.
Yep. I can look on my blog and see what browsers people are using to read my blog.
Did you know that, I can see that people have reported seeing the iPad 3 as being the web browser?
This is the way they spot all new devices, in the first way they spot them in the wild. Yeah.
Well, if they didn't want people to know that, wouldn't they just call it something else?
But it's also possible to spoof that. So some troll could be make his browser look like it's the iPhone 6. It could be a jerk.
We should put a name there. It's iPhone 6.01-top secret.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.com. Let's do that.
If Apple really, really wanted to hide it, they could.
Yeah.
Are employees at Apple already using the so-called iPad 3, possibly running iOS 6, that's the operating system, to surf the web already ahead of its expected announcement? Mm. We're not sure. But the Magic 8-Ball says, signs point to yes in an article on Ars Technica by Jackie Cheng. While digging through our logs in preparation for our monthly browser stats report, we found 365 visits from a device with a screen resolution, even though the screen resolution, of 2048 by 1536, the exact resolution rumoured for the so-called Retina display in the next generation iPad.
Mm.
Although a screen resolution by itself isn't much to go on, a quick search around the web indicates that there are very few devices in current use that have this same resolution. Although there is a $5,000 NEC display for medical use for that resolution. May not be that one.
But Apple's also known to leak disinformation as well.
Of course.
So I wouldn't put it past Apple to deliberately be doing stuff like this to throw people off the scent.
The Apple,
it's just good marketing.
Well, it is. It's the Apple marketing engine at its finest, isn't it?
I think the 3 is going to have to offer something pretty amazing. And generally, it does go 2 iterations and then a game changer. Like if you look at the 3G and the 3GS, totally different.
Talking
beast
about the iPhone
4.
So you get a 3 and a 3.5 and a 4. And so the S is basically a half.
Yeah. So I think for an iPad 1 and iPad 2, there wasn't too much of a difference between
the two. They could have called it the iPad 1S.
Yeah, they could have. But between the 2 and the 3, I think we're going to see a bit of a game changer. So that's why I think maybe more integration with an Apple TV or more integration with maybe an iPhone or just something more to it than what we've currently got. I think it needs to because people aren't going to have 3 of the same thing in the marketplace and be clamoring over themselves to get them.
Speaking of tablet computers, I happened to be in an electronics store today that I won't name. I was playing for the first time for me with the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1.
Any
the
good?
New ones, yeah.
I was a little bit underwhelmed. Oh. I thought that this thing's supposed to be the holy grail of Android tablets, and it was fast and furious and worked really well, and you could swish backwards and forwards and open stuff and do stuff. But it was a little bit laggy. I was a little bit unimpressed, actually. I thought it would be a lot better than it actually was.
And
whether
this is,
whether it was because it was the display model and they had lots of garbage loaded on it.
You don't know what other people have done to it before you've got there.
That's exactly right. But the interface was a little bit laggy. Have you played with one, Adam? Because you review a lot of these sorts of gadgets. I don't know if you had a look at the Samsung.
I actually have to chase up. I was supposed to be getting a review unit, and I don't know what happened to it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I got a Zoom 2 sitting there.
Which is the Motorola version.
Yep. But no, I never got around to looking at that Samsung.
Okay.
Because Christmas got in the way, and then the PR person changed to another company, and my suit didn't come back from the cleaners. And
the wheel fell off.
Yeah, the wheel fell off.
There were locusts.
Fire plague wasn't my fault. Yeah.
Mothers were mentioned.
It's on but it's on my list. But you've really got to wonder, if Apple hadn't bothered to sue them, would anybody have cared? It may have just died a natural death.
Maybe.
What Apple basically said is, this is the tablet we don't want you to see. And everyone went, wow, it must be pretty good.
It was good. We're talking about the Apple marketing engine. They were sort of working in reverse. Yeah, so doing a good job for Samsung at the time.
Samsung's PR people couldn't have done as good a job of drumming up interest in their tablet as Apple did by suing them.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Ron. I'm your host for this week's program. Lena Van Deventer is on the panel. Adam Turner is on the panel. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to have a quick break, and we'll be back after this short announcement.
Google has opted out of Germany now.
But that's not the whole problem.
Lena, help us. We need to come back. All is forgiven.
Yeah, what do you want? I can't deal with this now.
Absolutely.
That's very wrong.
It was very rude.
And obviously pretty good on the batteries too.
Not happy, Jan.
Oh, well. You have nothing here which does not have an Apple on it.
That's the way I like it.
Couldn't even tell her whether you were male or female.
No. Frankly, no.
Have you worked out the five-finger fondle yet?
I hate toolbars on browsers.
Yes.
That really drives me insane.
Yes.
That lacks couth as well.
That lacks complete couth.
Graham took umbrage during the week with a ranking system that I developed on the forum.
Should have known that was coming.
A good cabler is worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Apple, shall we?
Yay.
Oh, Apple scandal.
Yeah. Just when I got out, they pulled me back in.
Entertaining.
They post some lolcats.
No, they haven't posted any lolcats yet that I've seen.
Informative.
At some point, litigation must come to an end.
Exactly.
Independent.
I'm not queuing.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. Dr. Ron here, your host for this week's episode. Lena Van Deventer and Adam Turner are your respected and informed panellists.
Well, Adam might be.
which one's
respected? Do I want to be respected or informed?
Respected.
No, I'm chaos and she's mayhem.
That's right. Yes, indeed. Adam is here, Lena's here, I'm here, Dr. Ron, and Andrew sends his apologies, Graham sends his apologies. It's unusual not having Andrew and Graham in the studio at the same time.
Yeah.
Yes, this is the alternate universe version.
Maybe they're the same person.
Maybe they are the same person. Have they ever been seen in a photograph together? I don't know.
Knowing Graham, probably not.
No.
He's a bit of a tinfoil hat kind of a guy. He probably tries to avoid photographs. I mean, I love you, mate. I say that with all respect.
But Graham, we say it with, all due respect. With all due respect, don't you love people who start sentences?
And then tell someone they're
no
a complete
offense,
idiot.
But
no offense,
you're
but
a complete moron. Yeah.
With all due respect.
Don't take this the wrong way, but
yeah. Love it.
There's no good way to deliver that kind
there
of
thing. There isn't. It's like headlines that you don't ever want to be involved in.
Mm. Speaking of headlines that you don't ever want to be involved in, tell us what's happening with the filtering.
The there is a law review. Let me speak in English and put my teeth back in. There's a law review which has proposed a refined mandatory internet filter. We thought this whole internet filtering thing had gone away.
No,
let's just pedal backwards a little bit. The Minister for Communications, Senator the Honourable Stephen Conroy.
Don't say honourable. He's not honourable.
I'm using his correct title. He's the Honourable Senator Conroy.
And I'm now the amazing Lena Van Deventer.
I don't have a problem with that. I think we could get Mr. Conroy to call you the amazing Lena Van Deventer if we ever got him on the
program.
If
you do, I'll buy your
Coke. he's proposed an internet filter. There was a bit of backlash, a bit of an uproar.
A lot of backlash.
He said, what we will do, maybe, we'll backpedal a little bit, spin. What we'll do first is review the classification system in Australia. Now, a review has been undertaken of this classification system, and it's been decided, it was announced last week, that maybe the refused classification thing just should be ditched, and we should have a classification called prohibited, And that should be a very narrow subset of what currently is refuse classification.
That's what people are concerned about, is what Conroy was talking about before was so broad that it can include just about anything.
Mm.
Well, that's just right.
With no recourse.
IT News reports that the federal government agency tasked with reviewing the national classification system has recommended internet service providers be obliged to block a narrowly defined scope of so-called prohibited content on websites. But the government is not expected to make a decision on the recommendation, including its effect on the government's mandatory internet filter proposal, for at least a month. Mr. Conroy was in the media during the week, and he was all excited, saying, well, it's good that telcos like Telstra and Optus have voluntarily introduced a filter.
But he was being a bit dishonest about what they had actually introduced. He was trying to give you the impression, I think, that they'd done more than they had.
Explain, Adam. So we've got what they've done is they've taken it upon themselves, Telstra and Optus and other telcos and ISPs, to introduce a
basically a what you were talking about, but a very narrow filter, like an Interpol-based filter of 400 of the hardcore web child pornography sort of things.
That's right. It's run by Interpol.
Yeah, but there have been misleading statements made in the past, trying to give the impression that the ISPs support Conroy's plan more than they actually do.
Indeed. Well, we'll see what happens there. We'll see what happens.
No filter.
Well, I think it's not so much no filter, but if you're going to filter, you've got to do it the right way. You've got to be very specific about what you're filtering, and you've got to have... it's got to be an open process so people can appeal, and we know that it won't be abused. Because if you create a system like this where anyone can block anything and no one can stop them, we just know that that will be abused. And suddenly, who knows what will start to disappear. And once it disappears, it's gone. It's like the DNS blocking that they want to do in the US. They basically just wipe websites off the face of the earth. But this report's talking about is very narrow, like hardcore pornography, child pornography that no right-thinking person could defend. And Senator Conroy tried to make it sound like that the people who were against his broad filtering plan were basically pedophiles. If you're against filtering, then you must want all that hardcore child pornography on the internet.
Yeah, and that was completely the wrong...
But yeah, that was...
That he should be sacked.
Yeah, but it wasn't just him. It was everyone on his side of the argument were basically calling anyone. But the problem was that the people who were against the filtering made a mistake at first, and they tried to make it sound... Their argument came across as, don't take away our right to look at pornography. And it was like, no clean feed, which implied that, you know, we want a dirty feed. And that played straight into Conroy's hands. And then eventually they figured out that that was the wrong way to do it. And then they started talking about free speech and stuff like that. And they changed their slogan from no clean feed to open internet, I think.
That's right.
Yeah. And changed the dynamics of it. And that's a much more powerful argument, because it's easy. If someone doesn't agree with you, it's easy to dismiss you if it sounds like you're defending pedophiles. So they've changed the way they talk about it now.
If we have to have a filter in that, like I know a lot of people don't want a filter. If we have to have one because it's the legislation is passed, would you have more confidence in a blacklist that's run by Interpol, independent of the Australian government? Or would you be happy with Senator Conroy having his own
list? I would be more confident in anything that was not run by the Australian government. I trust them as far as I can kick them. And that goes for both sides of the fence. That's not me playing favourites either. I don't trust any of them. I don't think any of them can be trusted with this. It's too much power, and they will abuse it for their own interests.
There was massive concern when this was proposed, because there was no way for people to look at the list, or there was no independent oversight. It was a government agency that was running it. It was going to be the ACMA that was going to control the list. And they were saying, look, it's just trust us. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
And then what they found in the trial was that there were legitimate sites that, for whatever reason, worked their way onto the list. And people went to go and buy fish and chips online, for example. And they got a government page saying, landing page, which said, no, I'm sorry, this site contains content that's refused classification.
There'd been a dentist.
A dentist, that's right, yeah.
I think what had happened poor to guy. Some of them is their websites had been hacked at some time to host child pornography.
Yes.
Because that's how they do a lot of this stuff. They hack into your computer or website and host it there. So it had been identified at some point, but then the website had been fixed, but it had stayed on that list.
Yeah, and that might be your livelihood, the website there.
Yeah. So, yeah, it needs to be an open and transparent process, and there needs to be an appeals process, and we need to know exactly what's going on. And most of all, there needs to be very defined rules as to what is and isn't included, not just things we don't like. Because once you give politicians the power to stop things they don't like, it never ends well. I put forward 5,000 years of human history as proof of that.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Adam Turner, Lena Van Deventer, Dr. Ron, your host this week. Let's talk a little bit about the National Broadband Network and the NBN and Telstra. Now, last week on the program, you weren't here, Adam, but I was here with Andrew and Lena and Graham, and we were somewhat pleased to see that Telstra had finally got round to releasing some NBN pricing. That's pricing that they're going to charge subscribers for plans, for internet plans on the National Broadband Network. We thought this was pretty good. We hadn't read the fine details, though. You've read the fine print.
Yes.
You also do a view from the couch every week.
Yes, I do.
And you're good enough to prepare one for us this week as well.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch.
For all the talk of Australia's 21st century infrastructure, Telstra is determined to keep you paying for two cans and a piece of string in order to enjoy the new fibre to the home network. Traditional home phone services are a great money spinner for Telstra, so as you can imagine, the telco is not all that keen on offering naked services which don't include dial tone. Right now, if you get your broadband connection via Telstra Copper DSL, then you have to pay for a phone service, whether you want it or not. Even if you're with another telco, you still might be forced to pay for a home phone if your internet access comes via the Telstra wholesale network. Now, the National Broadband Network is finally set to break Telstra's stranglehold on Australia's fixed-line infrastructure, as all broadband retailers will have equal access to the new network, rather than Telstra making all the rules. The copper lines and the Metropolitan HFC cable broadband networks will be phased out, and people will get their broadband and home phone services over this new fibre network. Thanks to this new level playing field, you'll see a boom in naked offerings from Telstra's competitors. But Telstra intends to stick to its guns, forcing customers to pay for a home phone whether they want one or not. At the moment, it's possible to sign up for a Telstra cable broadband without paying for a home phone, but Telstra isn't carrying this over to its new NBN plans, which were unveiled last week. If you don't want a Telstra bundled plan with internet and phone all rolled into one, you still need to pay for a full service Telstra home phone plan before you can sign up for an NBN service. What's really astounding is that Telstra phone services will still come in over the aging copper phone lines, even though you'll have a shiny new optical fibre running to your front door. So you can forget about ditching that crackly copper phone line, which Telstra has let fall into disrepair but insists is still usable. Other NBN retailers will offer dial tone over the fibre network and abandon copper completely. Yet Telstra will force its NBN customers to keep their copper phone line for at least 18 months. After that time, it seems likely that Telstra will force customers to pay for a phone line on the fibre NBN network, whether they want it or not. Telstra's NBN plans are pretty disappointing compared to the competition, but forcing you to keep your old copper phone line just adds insult to injury. But then again, all of Telstra's internet plans are generally worse than its competitors, but people have stuck with Telstra in the past because they've either had no choice or no clue that better services were available. The NBN rollout means that every home will have a choice when it comes to its internet service provider. Remember, NBN Co. is only a wholesaler, so it owns the network, but it won't compete against other retailers the way Telstra does now. So there's no reason to stick with Telstra when the NBN comes along, unless you don't know any better. Telstra's Blitzkrieg marketing campaign will tell you it's the way of the future, but it's actually forcing customers to live in the past while it milks them for every cent it can get. Telstra's belief that it will retain customers due to its improved customer service is surely a sick joke. The storm clouds of true competition are brewing, and I'm wondering what Telstra can do to retain customers when real competition arrives at their doorstep.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff, Adam. I can't believe that they still think on what is it, like greenfield estates or just existing infrastructure where they're putting the NBN in? Or
well, not greenfields, because greenfields these days don't have copper in them, and what
that's
doing,
right, so they will just have fibre.
But those people are going to be the next generation of pair game victims if they're unlucky.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what's happened is in a lot of the new estates now, they're saying the developer has to put in fibre, right? They're not putting in copper.
Sure.
So then the developer of the estate needs to decide who they're going to get into bed with to put in the copper. One of them is Telstra with their, I think, Velocity services. And another one is a group that I know Internode is involved with. I'm not sure is the name of the group. Now, if you live in a new suburb at the moment where you've got fibre and no copper and you're in one of those Telstra, I think it's Velocity areas, you have no choice but to be with Telstra.
Mm.
It's not part of the NBN. No one else can retail to you over, and you can't leave them.
Yeah.
There's nowhere else to go.
So the only option is to use like wireless broadband, if that's available, if that's usable in your area.
So that I haven't looked into all the fine details of it yet, but I know that those circumstances were mentioned in the NBN announcements last week. And it looks like eventually those people will be rolled into the NBN. And I know the ones with the other group that were involved with Internode will be, because they're a bit more open-minded about these things.
Sure.
But if I know that I've had emails from people who live in these Telstra areas saying, what's going to happen to us? Because at the moment, they're held hostage. They've got no choice but to be with Telstra.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Mm.
It's bizarre. They've got to get away from this this copper, you know, twisted pair mentality.
Well, they don't even have to get away from this copper twisted pair mentality. They have to get away from this mentality of Telstra calls the, makes the shots, calls the rules, whatever the phrase. And that's what structural separation is all about. And that's what's so great about the NBN, is that the NBN won't be a retailer. The NBN owns the pipes, and then Telstra and everybody else all share it, and you can choose whoever you want to get it from. And Telstra can't get in the way and say, oops, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to go there. Oops, I'm sorry, that exchange is full. Oops, I'm sorry, we're going to charge you more for that than we actually charge our own customers.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Telstra will lose the ability to screw over the other retailers. That's what it's all about.
Mm, mm. Oh, we'll have to wait and see what they do. Hopefully the market pressure and the market forces will make them sit up and realise that, you know, this isn't the way to go.
Well, I think those people will eventually be rolled into the NBN, but I'm not sure exactly how it's going to play out.
Yeah, there's a lot that has to happen.
But I'm pretty sure when Telstra stops telling people you have to stay on copper, if you want to get the NBN from Telstra, I reckon they'll still force you to pay for a phone line over the fibre, even if you don't want one.
Yeah, that's horrible.
None of the others will.
That's horrible.
But people will do it.
Yeah.
Mums and dads, nanas and grandpas, whatever the phrase is that you want to use, people who don't know a lot about it and wants a phone that just works, people who've been with Telstra forever, they'll probably go, yeah, whatever. And Telstra will do this amazing marketing campaign to make it sound like they are the future and they're the ones you should be with, because they've got the mega bucks to throw at it.
And they say, oh, yeah, where do I sign? Yeah, no worries.
Now they've got all this extra money they've got from this NBN deal. So Telstra's got full pockets, and they're going to use that to blow the others out of the water in their marketing campaigns.
Well, that's a good link there, actually, Adam Segway Turner. The NBN co steps closer to a 3-year rollout plan. Said in the news, actually, at the front of the episode this week, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission during the week approved the structural separation of Telstra into independent wholesale and retail arms.
Yeah, which is what should have happened from day one when it was privatised. But they didn't want to do it because they knew it was worth more money in one piece. And now we've spent 20 years and billions of dollars trying to fix it. If they had have done that however many years ago when it was that Telstra was privatised, we may not have ever needed to build the NBN. Because part of the reason why we needed to build the NBN was because Telstra wasn't doing the right thing by the country. They weren't building the right infrastructure. They weren't being fair and sharing the infrastructure, even though they were supposed to. They weren't following the rules. And so eventually we were forced to build this massive new network. If Telstra had been separated right back then what became the Telstra network, as opposed to Telstra retail, could have evolved into the NBN.
Through natural evolution.
Yeah, which is what the Liberals are arguing now they want to happen. Well, if Telstra hadn't spent 20 years screwing the country, then that could have happened. But it's got to the point now where the only way we were going to fix it was to take Telstra out of the equation.
Everyone appeared happy with this announcement. Everyone was enthusiastic. The ACCC thought they'd done the right thing, obviously. The government was happy. Mr. Conroy, Prime Minister Ms. Gillard was happy. The CEO of NBN Co. was understandably happy, Mr. Mike Quigley. Even Telstra's competitors, Optus and other people, they came out to me. They said, this is great. This is what we've been hanging out for.
Yeah.
It's a good step forward.
Yeah, Telstra's been using their control over the infrastructure they've been abusing their control over the infrastructure for a long time.
No, it's good. It's good. So NBN Co, yeah, a step closer. That's good. Is there what's the danger, do you think, if we have a change of government in the next, like, 18 months, that all this hard work will be undone?
When I was at Queensland last week, there was a speaker there, Paul Fletcher, I think his name was. He used to work for Optus, and now he's part of the opposition. And he said that they will not rip the fibre out of the ground. They may come in and say, we're going to change things, but they're not going to rip out what's already been done. What I think they'll probably do is they'll come in and they'll make cosmetic changes, like every government does. You get a new government, they come in and they go, we're making it our own. They change the lipstick on the pig, claim they've changed it all around. And
smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, smoke and mirrors. So hopefully there are some Luddites in the opposition who would happily tear the whole thing out and go back to courier pigeons. But if you let the people who know what they're talking about, I mean, Malcolm Turnbull's a good example. He, you know, was involved with Aussie Mail and stuff like that. He knows about technology.
Malcolm Turnbull makes me angry because he's an intelligent man.
That's what I was going to say. He must cringe on the inside when he hears what some of his colleagues say about technology. Yeah.
He's worked in the industry. Yeah. He's an intelligent man. He knows what he's talking about. But then he has to toe this party line, which quite clearly, you know, he's great.
Hopefully people like him will win out, and they'll come up with some kind of compromise. Personally, I'm happy for them to argue about how much is wireless and how much is fiber. You know, I'm happy for them to argue about that as long as they're arguing in the national interest. It's when they argue it's a stupid idea because you thought of it. That's what bugs me. If the situation was reversed and the Liberals had come up with the idea, they'd think it was awesome and Labor would hate it just because the other guy thought of it, and that doesn't help anybody. But we need to do something, and hopefully, Fletcher said we won't rip the fiber out that's already in the ground.
Lena in our chat room says she only gets 70 megabits per second for her home internet.
That's right, I'll slap her for everyone else.
That would also be Lena in our studio.
Yes.
This week, 70 megabits per second. Are you serious? Are you for real? What's going on there?
I think the only thing holding us back is the switch. I think we could go more than that.
That's when you do a speed test just internally on your internal network.
You do
network.
Notice a big difference in speed tests when you switch brands of routers and stuff like that.
Mm.
Come on, that's not real.
That's real.
Are you for real?
I get about 60 on wireless, 72 on Ethernet.
Yeah, cable does up to 100.
We could get up to 100 if the switch could handle it.
Well, when I was on 10 megabit cable, I was getting 9 out of it when I used the right wireless, when I used the right router.
That's good.
Yeah, it was great. And then I moved and there was no cable.
I'm allowed to gloat about it because in my old place, I had a whopping 2
megabits per second.
Some people would still kill for that.
Absolutely.
So I'm pretty stoked.
What's your upload speed?
I downloaded an episode of something while making coffee.
That's pretty good.
What are your upload speeds?
Quite low.
Low? What, like a megabit? 256? That 2 megabits per second, quite low. That's right. I'll slap her again, everybody.
Please do.
I've got 800 megabits per second up on ADSL2, and I'm thrilled with that.
800K?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome.
I think it's like
makes sending in views to the couch much faster.
Well, that's just it. You see, obviously, Lena's internet connection, everybody's internet connection is usually geared for the consumer, for downloading content. Yeah. It's not designed for uploading quickly
ADSL,
and uploading lots of content.
It's asynchronous.
That's right.
ADSL. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
So if you're running commercial things more focused on the upload?
Well, there are plans and there are products in the market. I hate using that term, like products, like an internet service, a product.
A weather event.
There are services available, where you can have them
10 up, 10 down.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can cater for if you're pushing a large amount of data upstream. So you might be hosting a server at home. You might be hosting a web server or a mail server, and it's important for you and your customers to have fast upstream.
Elroy just did an upload speed test. He's on the chat.
Elroy.
It hit 1.7.
Elroy.
Only.
The name for that is usually SDSL, as in symmetric.
Symmetrical, that's right.
Subscriber line, yes. Because what you're getting up is mirrored in what you're getting down. Same speed.
That's it, not synchronous, symmetrical. Yep.
Yes. But consumers generally don't need that.
No, it'd just be from people who are outputting a lot, wouldn't it?
Yes, that's why you get a business service.
Microsoft unveils Windows 8 consumer preview. We've spoken a little bit about Windows 8.
Terrible.
Is it?
Terrible.
Don't you like it? Tell me about it.
We're going to trust your judgment
on this. I'm interested to hear what
I had a play.
You had a play?
I had a play, and I hated it.
On what device?
It was VMware on a MacBook Pro, I think.
Okay.
and it was, they have this splash screen thing at the start, right? And you have to sort of drag it up to lift it.
Introductory screen or a welcome screen.
And you have to sort of slide it up to look underneath it to get to the buttons you need to actually get anywhere through that. I sat there for about 15 minutes going, how do I get in? There's no buttons visible. There's nothing telling me what to do. There's nothing anywhere.
So it wasn't intuitive.
It's the most unintuitive, clunky, horrible thing I've ever seen. They use all these symbols that aren't industry standard for anything.
Oh, they're just made up. When she says industry standard, she means Apple.
No, I don't. I use many different products. Thank you very much, Mr. Turner. They've made up little logos for things that don't actually exist.
I don't know any other vendor that's ever done that.
It looks like a clock and a recycling symbol together in the bottom left-hand corner.
Like, there's a universally recognized logo for a power button.
Yes.
Like, do they use that?
No. They've made up all new ones because they're being innovative.
Hip.
But sucking at it, like, a lot. it was terrible. Everything, all the apps were in several different places, and there's no start thing anymore, and there's no... It was just awful. I see what they were trying to do, but God, they missed the boat, something chronic, something that was just really, really,
really
bad.
To quote Nelson from, I hope the irony's not lost on you, Simpson.
Well, Microsoft has unveiled its consumer preview of a Windows 8 operating system together with a new tool to configure peripherals to take advantage of new OS features.
Absolutely terrible.
The preview also marked the beta opening of the Windows Store, where apps from third-party developers and Microsoft would be available free of charge.
Mm.
That information from...
It looked a lot like WinFo. It looked a lot like that, like with the big squares, different coloured squares all over the...
WinFo.
WinFo. It looked a lot like that, but there was a square for apps. So you click on that and it's got, say, seven things come up. But then you go over to this menu bar on the right-hand side that you wouldn't have even known was there unless you accidentally found it, like I did by your cursor just rolling onto it. It pops out. And you click it on there and there's something like 20 apps on the page. And you go, well, is that my apps over there or is it my apps over here? Can't we just have one thing that takes me to my apps? Can't we just have one? I just forgot how non-intuitive Windows can be sometimes.
I think I know the answer to this question. Mm. Will you be tempted to leave iOS for Windows?
Absolutely not.
Thought that might be the case.
Absolutely not. It looks like they let first years have a go.
Adam, you'll give it a run? We've got to test it.
Still in the beta. They're still working the bugs out and they're still looking
there's
at
some big
what
bugs.
Works and what doesn't.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Ron. I'm your host this week. Adam Turner, Lena Van Deventer. Time for a break and we'll be back after this.
Did you hear about this, Graeme?
That's Telstra calling it 4G when it isn't.
Just ADSL speeds in a laboratory or in Graeme Callaghan world. It's not ADSL speeds in real world.
Thanks, Steam.
Don't forget, they have Big Pond TV and Foxtel and all sorts of stuff. So
adult movie studio, ooh. Vivid Entertainment.
There's a lot of uplink in there.
Yeah. I'll bite out of you in a minute. Be nice.
Entertaining, informative and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
You got a bit cranky with me there, Lena. Thingy we just heard.
Oh, was I threatening to bite?
Yeah.
I don't play well with others.
You told me to be nice. That was what it said on your school report, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Does not play well with others.
Bubbly personality.
Adam is a disruption to the class.
Every year.
So was
without
mine.
Fail.
Adam is a disruption
to the
class.
When they use the word bubbly on your report, it means you're precocious and they don't particularly like you very much.
Is that
you're
like
annoying.
Secret code, is it? Yep. Yeah. Is that what that means?
Teacher code.
That's great. I was pretty rude to Graham there in one of those little things, in one of those promos.
He was asking for it.
There's been some aggro this year.
There's a lot of angst.
Yeah.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Ron. I'm your host for this week. It's exciting. It's the Parallel Universe edition. We'll slot it there into the podcast feed, though. You'll never notice.
Well, this Chinese New Year's the year of the dragon?
That's me.
Is it? So maybe we're all getting our dragon on.
Dragon on with Dr. Ron. Adam Turner's on the panel. Lena Van Deventer's on the panel. You can say present. Are you here?
Present.
Excellent.
Standing by.
Gift. Stand by.
There's always that idiot who said gift.
Present, gift.
Not even I was that bad.
Here. Yes.
No.
The Department of Parliamentary Services has reinstated internal access to 5.2 million websites with the .info top-level domain after concerns over an internal filter were made public. Parliament had, for some reason, introduced a filter for all the little worker bees, so they couldn't see .info websites.
Uh-oh.
It's a big chunk of websites, baby.
.info's... You're not allowed information.
That's right. Correct.
That's what they're saying.
Dotinfo is fairly new. It's been around, what, a couple of years now, a few years, I guess?
Still a big, that's a top-level domain.
It is. It is top-level domain.
Yeah.
You're right. The block was imposed on the 22nd of October last year.
By some pencil-pushing bureaucrat who wouldn't know his backside from a hole in the ground.
Well, this is interesting because the pen-pushing bureaucrat that wouldn't know his backside from, what did you say?
A hole in the ground.
Is he a latte-sipping MacBook-wielding?
Maybe. I'm nervous. Who is it? I said it without knowing who it was.
He was from the Defence Signals Directorate.
Uh-oh. Yeah. He's got guns.
Okay, he has weapons, right. The ninjas are coming.
And a tank.
Yeah. So they actually, I think the Defence Signals Directorate assess a lot of the security risks and implications.
Actually,
for...
I may know that guy. I was just mentioning it, yeah.
Oh, that's right. You can catch up after the program. Yeah. Do we need to lock the doors? Smuggle you out the tradesman's entrance. Yes. Yeah, yep. The ban affected all officers, ministers and senators in Parliament House. There were a blanket ban on all .info sites. The department had granted requests to access some 68 websites on the domain since the filter was put in place. Timing and reasons for unblocking the websites were not given at the time of writing. This is from IT News during the week. That's interesting.
Someone just said, they don't need that.
You don't reckon? Don't need .info?
It was just someone just going, phew, you know, just, don't need it.
Wooshka, gone.
I may be wrong. It could have been some
5.2 million
well
websites.
Thought
bang.
Out. Yeah.
Gone.
Could have been some well thought out and well considered decision.
In the Parliament.
Yeah. but it wasn't Department. It was DOD, though. So that's, you know, makes you think, well, I don't know what they're doing.
I hope they know what they're doing.
Taking out a whole top level domain is, that sounds a bit full on.
I've worked for the state government in my time. Sometimes their IT infrastructure and stuff isn't bleeding edge. I'm trying to be diplomatic here.
Yeah, I can tell. You got that look on your face.
They've just upgraded.
Send around the ninjas.
Yeah, just upgraded from Internet
I've
Explorer
worked
6.
For large organisations as well, and I don't want them to send around the ninjas. But yeah, even large organisations can struggle with making good decisions sometimes.
We got an email today to the feedback thing about banks being innovative with innovative with requiring you to use certain browsers.
Oh, that was... Well, I started saying that about GD earlier, and I think I interrupted myself.
Ah.
And yes, GD had a problem with a bank, and he couldn't log on to access his
It said
banking.
To use IE6.
Please use IE6 or above. And he was logging on with a current incarnation of Mozilla Firefox, I think. He'll correct us if we're wrong in the chat room.
Don't use IE6 when there's an internet connection on the computer, let alone banking.
No, do not. Microsoft has said it is insecure, it's not supported, it's dangerous. Mm. There are much, much, much better alternatives. Do not use Internet Explorer 6.
Yep.
If you're still working in a government department or agency that forces you to use IE6, hop on the phone now. Just press pause. Hop on the phone, because you'll be listening on your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the telephone, ring the IT help desk.
And waggle your finger.
Say, come on, you can do better than this.
Yep.
And then start looking for a new job.
No. That's all right. I've done things like that before. Like, you get a bit of a name, but that's okay. You're that guy.
So when you work in a large organisation, it's always good to know the people in the mailroom and the people in the IT department.
The people on the front desk?
Yeah, the people in the front desk. The so-called little people.
I've worked on the front desk.
Are the important people.
They're the hard workers.
I could bring that business to a close.
They're not just the hard workers, but they are the gatekeepers.
They are.
If you know what I mean.
Yep.
When you know the people on security, it gets easier to get things in and out of the building and get things done without a lot of red tape. When you know the people in IT, you get the same thing from a digital perspective. You can bypass a few of those stupid precautions that stop people who don't know what they're doing installing things on your computer because maybe it's your job to do a bit of that. So it pays to know... The people, the mailroom, security, IT, they are the people you want to get to know.
As a general rule, be nice to everyone.
Yeah, but... No, I didn't say don't be nice to it, but I mean, get to know these people. They are the people who are the gatekeepers.
At Tech Talk Radio here, we're responsible corporate citizens. I think you'll find if you try and visit our website, which is www.techtalkradio.com.au, if you're on IE6, you'll get an error message. It says something akin to,
that's unfortunate.
It's a tad awkward, not quite as bad as Dr. On's choice of music. But awkward nonetheless, you appear to be using an unsupported web browser. Please go away. Go and visit your Commonwealth Bank website instead.
I asked the person who developed my website to have some way of flipping the bird to the people who were using IE6. Something to come up on their particular browser to say, are you out of your mind?
Are you out of your
Have you seen
expletive deleted mind?
Yes.
Lena, you're a games correspondent.
I am.
You know games.
I do.
You do games.
I am games.
You love games.
Really, I do love them.
You ready to do your little dance?
I am.
Tech Talk Matters with Lena Van Deventer.
I love my intro music. That's so fun.
You're very lucky, you know. I don't have like an intro-y music thing. Oh, I guess I usually get the your say in the correspondence intro at the start.
But they don't say Ron.
They don't. They don't say with Dr. Ron.
No. Special.
Adam gets a view from the couch.
Run games.
You haven't got your xylophone with you?
Yeah,
your little Glocky spiel.
I need a follow up.
Was it a xylophone or a Glock?
It was important to get these things right. Fisher Price Alligator. It's a classic.
Adam's hijacking a segment later.
I run too far away.
Oh, no.
I do run.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. It's come to that. Tell us about games this week. What has happened?
You know the store game over here? We've got EB Games, JB Hi-Fi, and Game are our largest three game sellers. You'll get Myers and DJs.
Yeah.
They're limited in comparison.
Yep.
They're UK-based, Gamer, and their subsidiary. I can't say that word.
Subsidiary.
I can spell it, but I can't say it. Game Station. I think they're in the United States, so the United States version. They're going through a bit of a bad time at the moment with a lot of layoffs locally, and EA has confirmed that anyone who has pre-ordered the Mass Effect 3 Collector's Edition from any outlet other than Amazon, Play.com, Zavvi, and Shop2.net should reorder through one of those four named retailers.
Why?
So, basically, they didn't say Game or GameStation specifically, but the stores will not be stocking any new EA games anymore.
That's a bit controversial.
It is, and I think that refunds will be available only as store credits, not as cash.
Which
is really not cool for the people with pre-orders who want to go in there and get their game. An internal game email from Tom Devine, that is his real name, the firm's managing director, it may be Devine, managing director of Northern European Operations, said that the group would not be stocking any of EA's March releases, citing not to be able to get the right credit terms from EA.
Oh.
I think EA's seen the writing in the sand and said, all right, well, you're done. So we're not going to put our product in your hands next.
Maybe EA being jerks and they don't want to go along with it.
They may be.
It can be on either side of the
fence. It could, but having a look at games past with a lot of closures and a lot of it sort of snowballs to the fact that it might be pointing towards publishers not being confident in game being around for much longer, which is, I can't remember anything like this happening for quite a while, if ever. This is the first time I've known of a publisher completely pulling out of a retailer like that.
Wow.
I'm sure it has happened before, but I just haven't been aware of it in the last few years. But I think that's a pretty big deal. Especially Mass Effect is going to be a huge release. The pre-orders were well ahead of the pre-order for Mass Effect 2, which is the previous game, obviously.
Yep.
The EA's confirmed that reservations for Mass Effect 3 are pacing well ahead of Mass Effect 2 at the same time when that was released.
Mass Effect 2 was huge, wasn't it? When it came out?
It was very, very large. I'm just scrolling down trying to find some notes, some numbers.
Someone's even a real gamer, but I know that's... Yeah.
Most people have heard of Mass Effect at some point. Let's see. Oh, they haven't actually given me numbers. I'm sorry about that. I should have read that before and just said, apparently it's going well. There we go. Next.
Nothing but the consummate professional.
No, I know. That's terrible. Now, GDC is about to happen.
GDC? What is GDC?
It's the Game Developer Conference over in San Francisco. It's happening in something like 4 hours.
Now, you went to this, didn't you, when it was it here?
No, that was GCAP. GCAP. The Game Connect Asia Pacific.
There's all these GC abbreviations.
Yeah, that's the Australian version of GDC.
This is the international version?
Yes, right. The one that's in the States.
GDC.
GDC Game Developers Conference.
Cool. And you're not going?
I'm not going.
Well, I'm assuming you're not going because it starts in 4 hours and you're here.
My dear husband is turning 30 on the weekend.
Oh.
And that was my priority.
Happy birthday, Mr. Van Deventer.
Yes. But I hopefully will go next year because it's it's a massive, massive thing. To give you an idea of the scope, the Australian game development community is quite small.
Yep.
To give you an idea of the scope in the United States, because they get a lot of their Canadian developers as well, and there's a lot of developers in Canada. They all come down for GDC, and a lot of international people come over for GDC. One of the after parties that's been set up for, I think, the first evening, there's 3,000 people going.
Whoa.
Just to the after party.
Sweet.
So you can see why I really want to be there.
You would have been in your elephants over there.
I would have been in my elephant. But there's a few things that
next year, we'll give you a little recorder, a little micro track. We'll get you to run around, do some vox pops.
That would be
stick
fun.
A microphone in some people's faces and say...
I've got a little Zoom at home.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah. Say hi to Australia.
Australia.
But GDC, I'm really annoyed that it's happening in 4 hours' time and not before.
Yeah, because we haven't got anything to report. Like if we recorded this week's program in 24 hours, you would have had...
It's all rumours now, and then by the time it's done, it's week-old news, but that's how it comes.
That's how it works.
It's just how it works.
It's like when you work in print too.
Yeah, yeah. You get your, what do they call them? 5 o'clock Charlies? When they have a press release at 5 o'clock on a Friday? But the rumour that's going around at the moment that got my attention, that maybe... unveiled at GDC, is that I think I talked about it last week. It was the vague inkling of a rumor last week, and now it's snowballed into quite a large one. Whether it's going to fall flat or not, we don't know. Valve unveiling a Steam Box console at GDC.
Well, last week you were talking about the possibility of Valve getting into Steam
hardware.
Valve getting into hardware. Yeah,
Valve owns Steam.
Yep,
and they are a developer responsible for Portal, Half-Life. Team Fortress 2, all those
steampowered.com is their website.
It is.
Their portal.
Steam, yeah, it's the digital distribution platform. And Gabe Newell came out last week saying, didn't come out last week. He said last week that...
what are you saying?
That he was... that he would not rule out making hardware if they had to.
Correct. And we reported that last week.
We did. And this is becoming a bigger and bigger thing as people start to speculate and investigate and all these unnamed sources suddenly start appearing. According to a report published by The Verge, who cites uncovered information from unnamed sources, don't you love rumours?
Oh, that's great.
Valve is set to unveil a Steam-centric gaming console at GDC. If not, then at E3. Oh, see, this is their clause. Like, say, if I'm wrong...
This is the out clause.
The end of the world will happen... in 2012, but if it doesn't, it'll happen the year after that. and it will be affectionately known as the Steam Box.
Nice.
I don't know. I'm not really into games, but I know that is huge.
Yeah.
But I also know it doesn't make a lot of sense. There's no money in consoles. There's no money in hardware. You're better off letting other people go to all the trouble of selling the hardware and then using that as a platform to make money on selling games. I think... It's a backward step in some ways. I can see why it would be cool to the end user, but for a content provider, it would be like Channel 7 starting to sell televisions. Like, well, they don't need to sell televisions. You buy the television and then they'll just send you stuff through it.
You've got such a mature market, like with the big three. You've got, you know, Sony and Nintendo and
it's
Microsoft. They've
ask.
All got boxes. You know, why would you come in as a new player at this point?
And Steam's on the PS3 now. So I just don't see the logic in it. As cool as it sounds, I can see the appeal in it, but I don't necessarily see the business sense in it. So it would be very interesting to watch.
From the rumours flying around at the moment, people are saying things like it won't be a gaming-only console, that it sounds more like a small form factor PC.
Yeah.
With limited sort of...
People already sell them.
Yeah. More than a closed box. Basically, than the Xbox or the PlayStation, which should be the way things are going. We don't need something that can only do one thing anymore. In fact, we're getting quite intolerant of things that only do one thing.
This thing won't butter my bread.
Yeah.
There's no alarm clock in my PS3. Won't do my tax.
Won't wash my car.
I had a flat tire the other day.
The more something does, the less reliable it is. So you've got to find a balance.
Yeah, more of a jack of all trades it is. That's right. The less it does everything well.
The Steam Box is set to be powered by a Core i7 CPU. I don't know where they're getting all this from, considering it's just a rumor. They don't even know what it is.
And if it doesn't come out, then it might come out later.
Or maybe an i5 or maybe an AMD Fusion.
8 gig of RAM or, you know, for all intents and purposes, 800 gig of RAM. Like, there's no way you can
be basically
anything.
$1 billion.
$1 million. And an NVIDIA GPU and run basic PC titles and allow EA's Origin to be installed. I don't think that would happen. I would put money on EA's Origin, which is the Steam clone, EA's version of Steam, why would Valve?
Yeah, why would you do that? That's crazy talk.
That's just, to me, that's nuts.
I understand. Any other last-minute games news for the week?
Just quickly. Yes, Limbo was a game I really, really enjoyed last year. Oh, it might have been even the end of the year before, end of 2010, I think. Limbo was probably a game that's grabbed me more than any have in the last few years.
I haven't heard about this.
I think I talked about it when I first started on the show, but mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure. I'll have to go back and see my notes. Playdead are the people who made Limbo. It was the black and white platformer that featured a little boy, and it's all silhouetted and very...
Oh, yes, you did mention this. Yes, yes, yes.
And
that's right.
Freaked out.
Yeah.
I just saw the zero punctuation review of it.
Yeah.
It was very dark and
very
morose.
Dark. Yeah, but it was fantastic and engrossing and wonderful. It was only 4 hours long. It's quite short, which is good for people.
How much did it cost?
I think it was like, what was it? 300 or 500 Microsoft points.
Oh, so okay.
And $10.
I was going to say, if it's a short game, you can't be charging full prices for it.
And what's happening with Limbo?
They're investigating, Playdead are investigating ports for Apple, Google operating systems, as well as Windows 8 and browsers.
Good. Oh, good.
So at the moment, it's on Xbox 360, PS3, Windows, and OS X. And it could be going to all these other, like Android and iPhone and all that, which would be really good because it really is a truly captivating experience.
We'll have to have a look at that one. Thank you for the update, Lena. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Dr. Ron. More GDC stuff next week. I'm Dr. Ron, your host this week, Adam Turner, Lena Van Deventer. We'll be back with the mad Final Five there. Gadget, website, app, Oddspot, all the usual after this.
Adobe's going to stop doing Flash. That's pretty good.
What links would you go to watch free-to-air television?
Not me.
I was at GCAP, which is the Game Connect Asia Pacific conference.
I told you it was GC something.
It's exciting times, isn't it?
The ACCC doesn't do anything either, to be fair.
And Andrew's just grimaced because he's one of those web designers that thinks that he should have control over everything about the way a website looks.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Oh, this thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my hole.
Remember how great the 80s were?
Nothing good ever came out of the 80s.
No, we don't either. I was only around for half of them.
Ha-ha!
Now you can mockingly honour the
decade.
I mentioned my age later on in the program because I was playing at home. Now that you can mockingly honour the decade best known for bad fashion with this 80s-style iPhone case that will turn your sleek iPhone into a bulky and cumbersome brick-like device.
like it.
It looks a lot like those old car phones from 90s sitcoms.
Yeah, describe it to us.
It's like a Motorola phone.
Black and chunky, and yeah, it looks a lot like the first Motorolas that we sort of became familiar with. You slide your iPhone in easily without losing your 21st century specs. This iPhone case is compatible with both the iPhone 3GS and iPhone 4 and offers fun protection against bumps and scratches.
Oh.
I give it 24 hours before the novelty wears off.
You it's can't talk to Billy Idol like that.
It is a bit like that.
How much would you expect to pay?
$13.99 at Amazon.com.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
StolenCameraFinder.com is pretty much what it sounds like. cameras have a unique identifier in them and they embed that in a photo when they take it. So if you've taken some photos on your camera and then someone's stolen your camera, you can go to StolenCameraFinder.com, drag and drop one of your photos into the website. It will pluck out the unique identifier for your camera and then go looking on the web in places like Flickr for other photos taken with the same camera with that unique ID number.
So this information is stored in what's called the EXIF data.
Yeah, the EXIF. It's like the metadata. It's the data hidden in the background but that you don't see. But people have got their cameras back this way. It was founded by a guy who was... That sort of happened to him and he was looking around ways to do this and make it easier to search. And there are lots of stories of people getting their cameras back this way. So
what a fantastic
if your camera's
idea.
Been stolen, as long as you've got a photo that was originally taken with the same camera, have a look at StolenCameraFinder.com and then take your chances with the cops. I'm not sure how much luck you'll have getting your camera back, but it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Tech Talk Radio, app of the week.
The time-lapse creator.
What?
Thank you to Rocco for this week's app suggestion.
Good
take
work,
Rocco. Take photos at certain intervals and create a time-lapse video. Time-lapse creator takes photos with the phone's camera at certain intervals and stores them as separate images to your device. This is an Android app, I believe. The photos can be viewed as a time-lapse video with the built-in player. Time-lapse videos are especially suited when shooting cloudscapes, plants and flowers, and construction projects. That could be pretty cool, seeing a house being built super quick.
Yes, yes.
Features include photos in any supported camera resolution, any shoot frequency and number of photos. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Built-in player for the time-lapses. Camera settings like focus, zoom, exposure, white balance. It doesn't keep the screen enabled. And you can encode your video file automatically.
Oh.
Time-lapse creator for Android.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
Ma, the meatloaf!
Bon. James Bond.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
People are fighting back. They're scamming the scammers. I wouldn't necessarily recommend this to everyone.
Do not try this at home. Do not adjust your sets.
A Brisbane woman fleeced Nigerian scam artist by stealing more than $30,000 from their internet car sales racket.
Oh, my.
30 gorillas.
Ah. She was employed by the Nigerians as an agent, unaware that they were scam artists.
Oh, she turned.
Yes, basically she turned. Her job was to provide an Australian bank account through which they could basically pass the money through.
Launder it.
And she was supposed to keep... Well, I was trying to be careful. You said that, not me, Your Honour. She was supposed to keep 8% of the money and forward it to the scammers, but instead she kept all the money.
We've got a public indemnity insurance
for herself. The judge described it as dishonest, and he adjourned her sentence to allow time for her to provide further details of the money she claimed. I would not recommend this kind of thing. It's one thing to have fun with these scammers and lead them on. It's another thing to steal from them. They may come and find you. So do so at your own risk.
I've had fun with scammers before.
Yeah. I like keeping them on the phone when they call.
Oh, that's always good.
I'm just going to get a pen.
Stealing $30,000.
$30,000, that's a bit...
that's gutsy. We'll find you.
That's gutsy. We're completely out of time. Adam Turner, thank you very much for coming in this week.
Not a problem. My pleasure.
Lena Van Deventer, it's a pleasure as always. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, all our listeners, for tuning in.
Well done, Ron.
Oh, thank you. This is the alternate universe edition of Tech Talk Radio.
Well panelled, sir.
Thank you. Andrew and Graham will be back next week. Same time, same channel. Until then, bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellists Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer. Expert opinion from Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by GC Support and Shaq West. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and around the world that broadcast the show. Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. Contact us for the 2-hour version or access the 1-hour show on the Community Radio Network. Visit cbaa.org.au for further details. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03-8682-9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. Don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter, join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk Radio chat, and solve your issues on the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.